we went through a sermon series as we talked about the hymns of our faith, and we began talking about God, the Creator, singing hymns to God, holy, holy, holy. We talked about our beautiful Savior, Jesus Christ, and we sang, what a friend we have in Jesus. We talked about the beauty everywhere in creation, these wonderful hymns of the creation. We sung those songs that brought us to the cross. We sung the hymns of Holy Week and then the triumphant hymns of Easter. And as we go to the hymnal today to sing the songs that are on our hearts, those that we would want to sing, and I wanted to speak to different groups of people this morning. I figure there's two groups of people. Those that love to sing. Just love to just singing all the time. Love to sing. I want to speak to that group of people. And I want to say to that group of people, if you love to sing, that's awesome. And we need your voice. Your voice inspires other people. And there could be somebody here that isn't really sure about what they believe or what they're even knowing or thinking. And hearing your voice, those of you that love to sing, hearing your voice might just help them think, well, if that person can sing that and believe that, well, maybe I can too. It's contagious in that way. And then there's another group of people, and that's people that don't really care to sing. Don't really like to sing all that much, and they're just kind of waiting on the hymn to be over so the sermon can start. Yeah, right? Yeah, those kind of people. I want to speak to people that don't really like to sing, and I want to say that's okay. You know, it's okay. And maybe you've been pushed or forced or strongly encouraged to sing when you didn't really want to, didn't really feel like it. And I want to give you permission this morning to just listen. And sometimes you can be in a part of a conversation where other people are talking and you're just as much involved with that conversation as a listener. And you're participating. So maybe if you don't like to sing, I want to give you permission that you don't have to, that you can just listen, that you can follow along the words, that you can maybe even make that your prayer, and that's fine. And maybe there's a third group of people. And that third group of people is people that just can't sing very well. And you guys are in both groups. You are. And this morning, I want to give you a hall pass. If you don't feel like you can sing, sing anyway, you know, or don't sing because just go along with it. But I want you to know that if you can't sing very well, there's going to be somebody else. If you're a chirping bullfrog, there's going to be another chirping bullfrog on the other side of the room that's going to sing in perfect bullfrog harmony with you, whatever key you choose. So I wanted to say that, and then we'll go from there. There will be some instructions, and Matt will give those, and then we'll see where this leads us in this next little while.
Yes, we will. So pretty much it's just shout them out if you have an idea. If you need a hymnal, everybody should grab one because we probably won't be able to catch up on the screen. If you need some, we've got some up here. Fantastic. We got some coming out this way. Oh, that was a request. All right. And so we're going to sing the first and last verse of every song so we can get through quite a few. But what do you have there?
Turn your eyes upon Jesus.
You got a number?
349.
And right before we sing that, I wanted to say one more quick little thing. And that is that the reason why we're singing is because, not first and foremost, because we like the hymn. Or not because, first and foremost, not for us. We're singing this morning to give God glory. And I wanted to say, whether or not you're in one group or the other, whether you sing or can't sing, this is our prayer, that this is a joyful noise in God's ear, that this is a joyful sound that glorifies God. Amen.
Thank you.
147. Alrighty. And so as you look in your hymnals, some things that you may never have noticed before is at the bottom of every hymn, on the left-hand side, typically we see the contributing artists and authors and writers, and both, you know, oftentimes the words and the music are separate. But in the bottom right there, you've got two lines that kind of mean nothing to most folks, but you'll see that top layer, Royal Oak, is the name of the melody. And so oftentimes in the Methodist church, you'll say, well, I know that tune, but we're singing different words to it. And that's because the hymnal is built in such a way that you can sort of mix and match melodies. And then right below that is the rhyming scheme. It's a 7-7, 7-6, 7-6 with a refrain. So you can go through the back of the book and match up any one of these to any one of the others. And that gives us a little bit of variety with the book we've been singing with for a little while now. So. Great little music lesson in there. As you'll see at the end of that hymn, the DC there. Anybody know what that means? Discontinued. That's it. End of the, this one's discontinued. It's gone stale. No, it's de capo, which means back to the beginning. And then you'll see at the end of those first two stanzas, you see fine, which is the end. That's it. So you did it. Fantastic. You might be wondering, why are we jumping around everywhere? There's a method to the madness. All right, well, let's hear another one. 593.
And also I heard a 504.
593 and then a 504, and then we'll pick it up from there. Shouting and being loudest is the name of the game here, so that's... All right, here I am, Lord. On this one, let's just sing one verse and one refrain.
I, the Lord, sky. I have heard my people cry. Oh, dwell in darkened sin. My hand will save. I who made the stars of night, I will make their darkness bright. Who will bear my light to them?
504 was the next one up on the request list. And we'll sing verses 1 and 4. 504? We'll sing verses 1 and 4. You guys are getting all kinds of musical lessons, too. You did a great job with the first and second ending, the aptly named first ending, because that's the way you ended the first time. And the second ending is the way you ended the second time. And so you did a great job reading through that. Luckily, this next one is just straight through left to right. And 344. All right, we'll start with 344. Did I hear that correctly? It's 344 or 314, right? Affirmative. All right, so 344. Ah, well, so the thing about this one is not fantastic at Spanish. It's a great choice, though. So instead of butchering a foreign language, unless anybody would like to volunteer, we're going to sing the English verses there. And we'll do 1 and 2, Mark. We'll give us 2 chances to figure it out.
Thank you.
Lovely. 314 is the next one up. In the garden, we'll do verses 1 and 3 on this one. So on those last two hymns, those are all in 6-8. You'll see in the upper left of your music, you see a 6-8 there. And there's this very natural human response in 6-8. We all start to sort of sway. If I could see it in your head, it's like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 1. Except for when what happens there in the middle of the piece when all of a sudden music stops. That's weird. Why do we stop there? And that's those little half circles with a dot. That tells you to take as much time as you'd like. And so we do our best not to be sarcastic with the time, but still imply a sense of waiting or longing there. And typically in the hymns, that's meant to emphasize that a little bit more. So as you see those, know that that lovely 6-8 sway that's happening is probably going to stop for just a moment. And we'll pick it right back up shortly, sort of whenever one of us feels like starting the next note. So that's how that goes. And now you know for future reference. All right. How about another? 562. 572. And then I heard 369. And we'll do 1 and 3 of this one.
Makes me
feeling some of you had heard that one before. 369, was that the one correct? Next. 369. Two more, and then we've got one. Oh, 408, and then what was that? 71? What was that?
32.
575. Oh, goodness. Yes, pick two, pick any two. What was that first 4 one up here? 418? 408. All right. And then 575. And then we'll have to do this again sometime because y'all seem to like it. So this is one of those hymns that fits with any number of different hymns, and it's one that you'll hear time and time again. It fits with the doxology. It fits with a number of our more cherished ones. But in this context, we'll just sing it as written, from the top left to the bottom right, verses 1 and 3. Was that next one? We'll sing verses 1 and 5. Now, in the entry to the Methodist hymnal and the direction set forth by the faith's founding members, you are supposed to sing every single hymn, all the verses, every single time, and loudly, but not in a show-offy way. And so maybe we've departed from that a little bit, just a tiny bit in time and tradition, but I still think a lot of these hymns are fantastic, and that even if you do catch just a few of the verses. So we'll sing verses 1 and 5, and then we'll invite Pastor Dan to close us out.